On today's episode of Maize and Blue Corner, we welcome Chris Castellani onto the show. We also talk about the addition of Shondi Brown, and we answer all of your voicemail questions in which we talk about our most overrated fast food restaurants and which three Michigan athletes we would want to spend with to get through a zombie apocalypse. We also talk about our unpopular opinions, and we list our top three favorite Marvel movies. Enjoy the show.
Yep. And we back.
Welcome to episode 6 of Maize and Blue Corner. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you have not subscribed yet or left us a rating, we would really appreciate it if you could do that. We know we're a new podcast, but we've all worked really hard on this, and all those subscriptions and ratings really do help us out. If you want to go back and listen to any of our older episodes, definitely feel free to do that. We have had some really fun guests and segments that I know you guys would really enjoy. And one of the most helpful things that you can do for us, if you want to help the show, just tell a friend or a family member about us. You can't get enough Michigan sports content in your life, so if you know someone that would like what we're doing here, just let them know about us. I will be your host today, Max, aka Wolverine Corner. Joining me today, as always, is Ben Cooper, and we have Ryan and Jacob here from UM versus Everyone. We're recording this on Friday night, May 22nd. And since we last recorded an episode, Michigan Hoops landed a transfer from Wake Forest in 6'5" shooting guard Shondi Brown. I know we touched on the possibility last episode, but now that it's official, let's get everyone's reaction on it. Ryan, how are you feeling about Shondi Brown?
So I kind of felt like we were going to get him from the get-go after he added Michigan to his top five list. But so that really wasn't a surprise to me that he came to Michigan. Now, however, I think that much like I said last episode, he's going to be kind of like I don't want to say poor man. It's just a different dimension. Instead of a different dimension, you have Charles Matthews, and that's kind of like what Shondi Brown is.
Like Stranger Things?
He's like a great physical guard. He can rebound really well for his position. He can score inside and in the mid-range, and he's a slightly above-average defender. So I think that that's kind of what he's going to bring to the table, is a leadership role and a physical guard, kind of like Charles Matthews did when he was at Michigan.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. Obviously we don't know, but I think it'd be actually better for him to sit out next year, even if he's able to grad transfer. I think he just brings he brings size to the guard position. He can score, can guard 1 through 4, and is just, I don't know, he'd be a really good addition to the team. I think he'd help out a lot.
He's very comparable to Charles Matthews, but like, his stats are pretty eerily similar when it comes to like the basic stats, but you're sacrificing a bit of, compared to Matthews, I say you're sacrificing a bit of defense. Like, his defense is still good, but he can actually shoot free throws. Actually, he last year he shot 83% from the line, which like, I think for a long time we've been frustrated with how Michigan does at the line. It's just, so I like that part because I'm frustrated of seeing everyone miss free throws constantly. So, yeah, that'll be – I mean, Ant Wright compared him to Marcus Smart, so I'll take him.
Yeah, so last week I was saying exactly what Ben just said about wanting him to sit out a year, and I've, like, done a complete 180 on that. So I'm all on the Shondi Brown hype train right now. I want him to get his waiver. And if he does get his waiver, I think he'll be our starting two guard next year. And I think you might see Eli Brooks slide to the one and Mike Smith come off the bench. But that's a whole different story we can have some other time. But yeah, I love it. I think he's going to bring just a lot of physicality to the guard spot that we haven't seen probably since Matthews. And just a really, really good, really good addition. I think Juwan definitely hit a home run on this one. So that's enough about Shondi Brown. We did break him down a little bit more in depth in our last episode. So if you want to hear a little bit more about that, just, you know, go ahead and search that last episode. Moving on here, we're slowly starting to see sports creep back in our lives. NASCAR and soccer are back. Golf's returning soon. And the NBA is kind of putting together their comeback plan as well. I just wanted to get everyone's opinion on a few things. When we last talked about this, it might have been way back in episode 1. Nobody was all that confident that we would even see a college football season in 2020. I'm guessing most of our opinion on that has changed a little bit. So my question is, how confident are you that we'll see a semi-normal college football season in 2020? And then kind of the follow-up question to that would be, Would you yourself personally go to a game if you were allowed to?
I think I'm very confident that there will be a college football season. It just generates so much money that if there's any possibility, I think it will happen. I don't think the spring thing is really a possibility in my eyes. I think the biggest could be like pushing it back, maybe playing only conference games. And I honestly don't think there'll be fans, but if I'm allowed to go to the Big House, I'm gonna go. That's all I'm gonna say.
There's gonna be football. I mean, I don't see them canceling it, but there's not gonna be fans either. I mean, it's like it's not gonna be a normal year. I think like games will kind of go on as scheduled, but you're gonna see empty stadiums, which is, I mean, with how one of the great things about college football is its fans, so that's going to take a huge toll on what the season is going to be like. Our first game is in Washington, the loudest stadium in college football, so that's going to be a huge impact on the game, which will actually be helps Michigan. I mean, going to Columbus, the environment there being so hostile certainly has an impact on that too. So, you know, I think it's going to happen. It's just there's not going to be anyone in the stands. So personally, attending a game, no. I mean, I'm not going to go to a full stadium. Like with that many people in the Big House, it's inevitable someone's going to have the virus and not know about it. So the only time I'd think about it is if, like, everyone's kind of, like, spread out. Like, you know, there's a lot of empty seats and everyone keeps their distance from one another.
Yeah, so I agree with you guys. Obviously, it's looking like there's definitely going to be a season, which we're all very thankful for, especially over the last couple months when we've been just kind of deprived of all sports. So everything's trending towards, you know, sports being back, you know, sooner rather than later. And then I did see Ohio State's athletic director, and there have been some other people that have been speaking on, you know, holding – games with 20,000, 30,000, 40,000 people, whatever, in attendance. If that's the case, great. You're not going to see me going to the game. It's just unnecessary, if you ask me. And I know that there's plenty of diehard fans that they're going to be at the Big House if they're allowed to be. And I respect that. That's their decision. But I know I tweeted about this too. The in-house you know, viewing experience for a football game at your house, it's never been better. You know, I don't see the point of risking anything, either my health or anybody else's health by going to a football game this year. It just seems unnecessary and it seems a little selfish to me. But again, I would never judge someone for doing that at all.
Yeah, exactly. I'm kind of on board with the last few statements. I think that we are probably going to get a football season, but it's my opinion that they're not going to have any fans. I think that that's like a common thought, is that there's not going to be many fans this season. I think it's been made well known that. And if I had the chance to go to one, I personally would not. As much as I love going to football and basketball games, mostly like both of them, but we're talking about football, I wouldn't risk getting COVID to go to a football game. Because there are so many people there, and like Jacob said, you're just bound to get it with it because there's definitely someone there out of 100,000 people that's going to get it. So I don't think I'd risk it for that.
For sure.
And like Max said, is that it's TV watching these games on TV. It's never been better because it's just the quality, you have commentating, and you can just like have the convenience of having stuff at your house and just having friends over and stuff. I just don't see as a place where I would go to a game instead of and risk getting COVID instead of just staying home and having fun there.
Oh, my bad.
No, you're good.
I was just gonna say that when I said like I would go, I just assumed you guys were talking like how there would be like limited fans, like as Max was saying, like 20 or 30,000. We'd like space out. If it's normal, I'm not gonna go. But if it was like that, I mean, I probably wouldn't be able to get tickets, obviously, if there's that little fans available, but if I was able to and it was spaced out, I would, but if not, obviously I would not.
Like, there's another thing. I was like, it depends on who they're playing. Am I going to risk my health or other people's health to see Michigan go play Arkansas State? No, I can just watch that on TV. That's not really worth it. Like, If it's Penn State, then it might be a different story. You know, it's Penn State. That's a big game. So it's just, I mean, staying home would just make more sense, especially if it's just some normal, like this is a built-in win for Michigan's schedule.
So Jacob, in other words, you're cool with risking getting COVID to watch Penn State, but not Arkansas State, right?
Oh, totally.
Sure.
That's
just the opposite,
like,
man.
I feel like it's just there's like no reason to do that if it's like, I'm just saying like it's a reasoning type of thing. Like I'm not gonna do that for, like I might think about it if it's Penn State. I don't know. I might be digging myself into a hole here. I'm just gonna stop.
Well, if you go to one of those games, you're gonna definitely be in a hole afterwards. So. Anyways, so
six
the good
feet
news
apart
is
or 6 feet under.
The good news is sports are coming back. Everything is very, very slowly getting back to normal. I know you guys are all up in Michigan, and I know the governor up there is starting to finally ease restrictions. It honestly feels like everything's been back to normal in Ohio for the last, I don't know, month or so. We haven't had restaurants open, but I think that happened last week where all those are starting to open. So hopefully you guys will get some more freedom up there soon and everyone gets a little bit more kind of back to normal. Moving on away from that, we're going to get into this week's interview. Ben got the chance to interview Chris Castellani, and we're very thankful for him for coming onto the pod. We hope you guys enjoy this talk with Chris.
Today, we are excited to welcome Chris Castellani onto the show. Chris has amassed over 15,000 followers on Twitter through hilarious and entertaining tweets and videos from the Tigers to the Mason Blue. Chris is a member of two podcasts and has recently brought back his YouTube channel. Chris has taken the Michigan sports media scene by storm, and we're pleased to welcome Chris to the Mason Blue Corner podcast. How are you doing today, Chris?
I'm doing all right, man. That's a very flattering intro. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no problem.
Obviously, many people know you from your large following on Twitter. What would you attribute your success on the app to?
Luck and a lot of good timing. You know, when I decided to do the Tigers post-game videos, I kind of accidentally picked the perfect time to do it. I mean, it was the worst season they'd had in 14 years, and I think I tapped into the frustrations that a lot of Tiger fans were feeling at the time. Now, this was an organization that was coming apart at the seams, and people felt that. I think I verbalized a lot of the anger that fans were feeling. I think a lot of my early videos were way, way over the top. I have a hard time watching them, but I can't deny that they connected with people. I'd been making video content for 9 years up to that point. People don't know that. I'd been making videos since I was 12 on YouTube and Vimeo, and these Tigers post games were the first time that I ever really did anything that popped. And I didn't really know how to respond to that. It was definitely uncharted territory. The rants were something that helped grow my brand, but the goal recently has been to expand with better, deeper content.
And did it like, obviously you've been making videos for a while, but like did that season, did it just like catapult your followers from the start, or how did that work?
Yes and no. I mean, I had, I think around 800 followers at the beginning of the 2017 season and ended up probably by the end of the season with around 5,000, including there was one video where my following like tripled or quadrupled almost overnight. And it kind of snowballed after that, with a lot of the Tigers content. So it wasn't an overnight thing, but like every couple weeks I would have a video that would really blow up, and all of a sudden the following would just continue to grow.
Was the really like big video on, did that make it to Barstool, or was that a different video?
Actually, no, it was actually two different videos, and it's something that a lot of people get mixed up, and I understand why. The big, you know, popular one that, you know, where my following went nuts was game 85 against the Indians in 2017. And then, you know, I continued making videos after every game, but then a couple months later, I did one after a game against the Rockies, which someone sent that video to Jared Carrabas, who then played it back when the Starting Nine did a live show on Facebook, which was like the coolest thing ever. And I continued to be in correspondence with those guys who have been very, very kind to me. So, yeah, those were kind of the two big ones from that season.
And obviously you're a big baseball guy, but you've been posting a lot of Michigan football and basketball, or at least you did last season. Yeah. Why did you move on? Why did you, like, start covering those sports?
I mean, kind of the same reason that I started doing the Tiger stuff. I just needed something to talk about. And I had something I wanted to talk about. And Twitter is, Twitter can be, not always, but can be a very beautiful thing because it is, you're kind of screaming into the void and it gives you the opportunity to put your thoughts on a particular event out there. I think that I have in the past, struggled with my ability to ramble, and I think the 2-minute 20-second window that Twitter allows you to have, I think, is kind of perfect, not just for me personally, but also just kind of for the generation that I'm appealing to, which has kind of and me included in this, has kind of a short attention span, and you kind of get the quick hits with the post game videos, and that's allowed me to expand with the podcasts I do with Mason Brew and of course Locked On Tigers, which I started a couple months ago as well.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, many people know you as an avid sports fan, but if you had to say what your dream job would be, what would that be?
You know, that's a good question. I'm by no means a celebrity, but I'd be selling myself short if I said that I wasn't in the public eye. You know, I've chosen to do things where I put myself out there, put my voice out there, put my face out there, and that's tough. I've developed a much deeper appreciation for journalists and radio personalities because of the thick skin you have to have. Yeah, ideally, to answer your question, I think my dream job would be to somehow monetize and get paid for my content, whether it be through advertisers or you know, by other means. And that's an uphill battle because I'm not super sure how that business works, but I like the idea of being independent. You know, I do the podcast, I do Maize and Brew, which works because I work with two other guys who are really intelligent that I can bounce ideas off of. And I do Locked On Tigers, which has been a struggle for all baseball content has been a struggle lately because of the coronavirus, which has thrown everyone for a loop. You know, I'd love to get paid for my content, but like all content creators, you know, I face some big challenges. The first being that you still have to make money somehow, and sometimes that gets in the way of other things. And the other job that I have is my primary source of income. And the other obstacle is trying to find a way to get my content to advance beyond the 2 minutes and 20 seconds on Twitter. You know, I get more viewers from one Twitter video in 5 minutes than I'll get from the entirety of a Locked On Tigers podcast. So monetization is the end goal, but that's, you know, for many people becoming more and more difficult.
Obviously, a lot of us have some extra free time during this whole coronavirus pandemic. Yeah. So what have you been doing with your extra time?
Watching movies, watching a lot of comic book movies, dissecting those movies, done a couple commentary tracks with my boss and my friend Anthony at MazeandBrew.com. And I've realized recently that watching films is fine, but discussing film is something I find endlessly fascinating. I've always been a film fan, but I kind of got away from consistently going to the movies, and pretty soon, once movie theaters open, that'll change.
And I saw you were bringing back your YouTube channel. Why did you decide to do this, and what can fans look forward to?
Well, reviewing movies was my original thing back in the day. I got away from it, and that wasn't anyone's fault. I was in my last few years of high school, and then college came, and I just didn't feel like it was appropriate at the time for me to run to my computer and review films. And the older your parents can't afford to pay for you to go to movies anymore, and sports kind of became my go-to. But even before this quarantine, I felt like some of my sports content had kind of hit a wall, and you get very discouraged by some of the stuff you come across on Twitter, and I'm not going anywhere, and once sports comes back, I could feel completely different, but I also felt like I needed another more quaint outlet, and I'm going to be reviewing movies on YouTube. I think it will have similar DNA to what you see on Twitter, and that's someone who is incredibly passionate about what he loves, and you're going to see quick improvement. You know, I've never claimed to be the smartest guy in the room, but I'm gonna keep trying to be.
Yeah, for sure. Moving to more Michigan related questions. Mm-hmm. When and why did you become a Michigan fan?
That's a good question. My dad went there. I lived in a house divided growing up in Lansing. You know, my brother was an avid State fan, continues to be an avid State fan, graduated from there. My mom is a Spartan fan. I kind of got swept up in the tradition of Michigan football. One of my earliest sports memories was the John Navarre, Chris Perry, Braylon Edwards-led Wolverines in 2003 beating Ohio State and going to the Rose Bowl. And at the time, I was like, sweet, Michigan Big Ten champs. I can't wait for this to happen again and again and again. And, you know, 17 years later, they've only won one other Big Ten title, and that was the next year in 2004. But, yeah, I'm sure I made life difficult for myself at points, but it's the fandom I chose, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
So you said you grew up in Lansing. Did you go to like a lot of Michigan State games growing up, or?
Not a ton. I would go, you know, if invited. I went to a few Michigan State games. But not all the time. You know, probably the same amount of State games that I went to Michigan games. So try to go. My dad and I would, for a while there, what try to get down to the Big House once a year.
Assuming that the season will go on as planned, what would you say a reasonable goal would be for the Michigan football season?
Look, we all want them to win the Big Ten. And the monkey won't officially be off the backs of Harbaugh and this program until they do. But Ohio State's a juggernaut. And given the current state of Michigan's program, I don't know if they have the athletes or coaches to beat them. To me, a more realistic goal is 11 wins. You win 11 games year in and year out, you're a darn good program. And you look at next year's schedule, for the most part, it's pretty favorable, obviously, until you get to the end. If they aren't at least 10-1 going into the horseshoe to play the Buckeyes, I'll view it as a disappointment. You know, you got to start somewhere, win 11 games, and I'll view it as a success.
Whatever sport you want for this one, but if you were to have to just pick one favorite Michigan athlete of all time, who would you say?
This one's very easy for me, and that's Trey Burke. You know, the 2 years he played at Michigan were my sophomore and junior years of high school, and Trey Burke was like a king to me. I mean, outside of Cassie Russell and Glenn Rice, I don't think there's a player who's had a more important, greater impact on the Michigan program than him. And as great of a job as Xavier Simpson did of doing that number justice, I think it's kind of a bit insulting that number three isn't up in the rafters at Chrysler Center. So yeah, Burke's—he was always my guy, and probably will always continue to be.
Do you think Michigan football will beat Ohio State in the next 5 seasons?
The next 5 years, I mean, so much changes. You know, right now, based on the trajectory, based on what we've seen, it's reached a point of I'll believe it when I see it. So based on what we've seen, I would probably say no. But in 5 years, so much can change. You know, who knows? I mean, Ryan Day, assuming the success continues there, could be a hot commodity for the NFL. You don't know who they're going to hire after that. So right now, if things continue the way that they're continuing, I would probably say no, but with a major, you know, caveat of that being the fact that things can change so quickly.
Assuming Livers stays, who would you see as Michigan basketball's leading scorer next year?
Probably him. I think I like Isaiah Livers a whole lot. Big fan of his. I think Wagner will put up you know, a lot of buckets as well. But I think that Michigan basketball, you look at the peak years of Beilein, those were teams that had one player that the offense ran through. You know, it was Burke for 2 years, then it was Stauskas. You had, you know, a couple of years, you had a year where it was Derek Walton. You had a year where it was Mo Wagner. I think the last 2 years they've kind of struggled as a team that didn't necessarily have a one go-to scorer that could get buckets for you late in games. Livers being injured last year really affected that. But I think with him being, you know, a fourth-year guy, I would suspect the offense will and probably should run through him. So I would go with him.
Assuming that there are no like late transfers, what would you say you would think Michigan basketball starting lineup will look like next year?
Let me think about this now, because I think Livers, Wagner, Brooks, and then I would say maybe, and I'm probably leaving somebody out here, but I think between Johns, Dickinson, and Davis, You have two of those three guys are going to be in the starting lineup. I've gone back and forth with this. I think Davis could potentially start the season as the at the five, but that could change because I think that Davis, as solid as he was last year coming off the bench, I think he needs to get in a bit better shape if he wants to be a guy who's going to get starting minutes. I think Dickinson offers a whole lot of upside, and I also think that potentially Terrence Williams could start over Brandon Johns as well. So I'd probably put that five. I'd probably move Johns, put Williams at the four, Dickinson at the five, and then the big three with Brooks, Wagner, and Livers.
Are you team Dylan McCaffrey or Joe Milton?
McCaffrey. You know, I think that Michigan fans and Michigan in general, being at Michigan in general, you being a backup quarterback is kind of the best job ever because people always assume the best option is right around the corner. They always assume the best guy is the backup. I mean, it's been there every year that Harbaugh was there, essentially. You know, when Spate was struggling, everyone said, oh, we got to get O'Korn in there. I'm sure he's better. Then when O'Korn was struggling, they said, oh, we got to get Brandon Peters in there. And last year, it was kind of the same way with Shea. I think, look, whether you want Milton or not, it would be insane at this point for McCaffrey not to be the starter in game one, simply because there's been no spring practice. Joe Milton hasn't gotten in enough consistent reps to earn a spot as the starting quarterback. McCaffrey has played sparingly. We worry about his durability. He's gotten injured on two separate occasions, and I think there's a very good chance Milton could be a very good college quarterback, but for the time being, I got to put myself on Team McCaffrey just based on experience, and he has, outside of the injuries, he's done nothing on the field that has made me think that he won't be an effective college quarterback.
Clearly, that's a very debated question these days. But if you were to if you had to predict, what do you think college football will look like next year?
I think it'll be limited capacity. I mean, all this is so strange. You know, I'm still, you know, I think we all are still holding out hope that one of these days we're going to get some miracle vaccine and it's going to change everything. But you know, you're kind of hoping for a miracle at this point. I think what we'll get is stadiums that will probably run at, you know, 50% capacity or something like that. We'll get 50,000 in Ann Arbor, maybe. Maybe that's wishful thinking instead of 100,000, but it will be unlike any season we've ever had. I am confident, more confident with college football than almost any other sport, that we will see it next year. We will see it in its entirety. And who knows, maybe by the end of the season, maybe by the very tail end, by the time you get to bowl season, maybe that will be kind of a celebration and they'll say, all right, let's get everyone back in here. Let's fill stadiums to maximum capacity and start going back to being 100% once again. But for the time being, I think there will be a plan in place that will allow fans into the stadium, but not even close to the capacity that we've seen them be at in college football over the last several decades. And maybe even a limited, instead of doing 50% capacity, it could just be only 10,000-15,000 people are allowed in this game, which would be a surreal sight, but maybe a necessary step that has to be taken.
Yeah. Do you think it's going to be, there's any chance of it being played in the spring as opposed to the fall?
I don't think so. I saw that idea being thrown around. I think the only possibility of that happening would be if this thing just continues to be stagnant to be consistent or to get worse. I think as painful as this whole process has been for everyone over these last 2 months, the curve has admittedly flattened a little bit. And I think that it would be surprising to me if by the time we get to the fall, this whole thing has to be pushed back, but it would be surreal. I would put it at a low probability, but still a possibility nonetheless.
And finally, every episode of the podcast, we usually do one non-sports related question for each guest. Yeah. So this week we are doing, what are your top three favorite Marvel movies?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say I would go number three, I would have Endgame. I love Endgame, and every time I see it, actually, I like it more simply because I think that it's a film that has so much genuine character drama that even you take out a lot of the comic book elements, it just works on its own as a character film. Number two, It would be Captain America and the Winter Soldier. That one to me kind of changed how I viewed Marvel as a whole. That was really to me kind of like the Dark Knight of Marvel films, where it was the first time where I saw a Marvel film and felt like any one of these characters could be killed off. That movie, I think, kind of changed the whole landscape of the entire MCU. And number one to me, and just in terms of pure enjoyment, would be Avengers Infinity War. Maybe not the best Marvel movie, maybe, though it's pretty close, but I think in terms of pure enjoyment, when the idea was pitched of how they're going to make an Avengers movie, that was the one that I was kind of looking for. You have all of them together on their own separate journeys, and somehow, despite all the characters, all the, you know, the balls that were in the air that they were juggling, the whole thing managed to work because they made the very smart decision of making Thanos both the antagonist and protagonist of that film. And Josh Brolin's performance and the writing for that character is so fascinating that to me, that one, I wouldn't say head and shoulders, but slightly above the others as the one I've watched the most and probably my favorite.
Those are some good picks. Later in the episode, listeners at home, you will find out what me, Max, and the other guys think of our lists. That's all the questions we have for you today, Chris. Anything else you'd want to say before we close?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just plug my my podcast and my social media real quick. You can follow me on Twitter at Castellani2014. That's at CASTELLANI2014. There you'll find the link in my Twitter bio to my YouTube page. And you can also find my solo podcast, Locked On Tigers. That's on Twitter at Locked On Tigers. You can find it on iTunes and Spotify as well. So yeah, go ahead and follow me on all those platforms. It'd be much appreciated.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on the podcast. All of those links will be in the description below, so make sure to go follow them there. Now we will move on to our next segment, voicemail questions. Take us away, Max.
Thanks again for Chris for giving us some of his time. We really appreciate it. We're going to move on to my favorite segment here, voicemail and mailbag questions. Here's our first one.
Hey, Maven Corner Podcast. My name is Mike Lickums, calling from Ypsilanti, Michigan, where the Commander-in-Chief, President Trump, just visited. And while he was visiting, I was wondering, what do you guys think that Donald Trump would be in football, basketball? What position would he play if he played one of those sports? Thanks.
All right. Thanks for that interesting question, I'll just say. I just looked up Trump's height. He's actually 6'3", so he's tall. So he could definitely hoop, I think. He doesn't look like the type to have very good ball handling skills, but he's not tall enough to play one of the forward spots. So I'm going to put him at shooting guard. Actually, just he can stand in the corner, cut, pass out to him for a corner three. That's 3 points right there. In football, he doesn't look like I don't really know where to put him for football. He's not fast, so he can't be a running back. He's not athletic enough to be a quarterback. He's not fast enough to be a wide receiver.
Whoa, so are you calling our president fat?
Yeah, he kind of is. Am I wrong there?
We don't body shame on this podcast.
I'm not.
I mean, seemed like it.
I'm not making fun of it. I'm just pointing it out. All right, continue.
Okay.
So, football, I don't know. I might just put him at tight end. I don't know where to put him there. Fullback. Yes, actually fullback. Ram him. Put him for the 1 yard line. Give him the ball. He's the fridge. All right. I love it. That's my answer.
All right. We're going to start with football, actually. I don't know if you guys have seen it, like the Jamal Charles thing where he throws it like 50 yards and he catches it himself. I can see Trump doing that for sure. I mean, just the speed that man has, the arm. I mean,
definitely.
Yeah, for sure. Basketball, I mean, it's tough. I was thinking about that one for a while. I think, like, I don't know if I can just give him one, like, player comparison or position. So I think I'm going to just have, like, mix a few players to make what I think his build would be. So I think in terms of scoring, I think he's going to have – he's going to play like Giannis, but he's going to have the Steph Curry jump shot for sure. I have a cough. I think defense, Kawhi for sure, Kyrie handles. And I think he's blocking some shots like Mutombo. So I think that's a good build for him.
That's fat. So you basically just have – you think he's going to be like the greatest player of all time.
Well, yeah. Like that's a given. But I think it's not even going to be close for anyone else. I think people might just – like they might end the NBA.
Gotcha. So yes. I went in a little bit of a different direction here. Any of us who have all played pickup basketball, either at the Y or the local gym, whatever, have you guys always seen like that really unathletic guy who has the really baggy shorts on, who might be a little bit overweight, and all he thinks that he can do is shoot, and he just stands in the corner and just waits for someone to pass him the ball? He literally does nothing else. That's what I picture Trump as. He shows up to the gym, tells everyone he's a fucking sharpshooter, stands in the corner, and just doesn't do anything else.
I mean, that
shoots like 2 of 11 from three in the game. His one of his two makes is a bank. He banked in a corner three somehow. I don't know how he did that. So that's what I picture him in basketball. In football, it's a little bit different here. Have you guys ever seen the movie The Longest Yard with Adam Sandler?
Hell yeah.
Okay, so you guys remember Brucey in that movie?
Yeah,
a little.
All right, so Brucey's the guy that he thinks he's good enough to be a quarterback, and then they give him the ball, and he cannot throw the ball. He's just terrible. So then they're like, all right, maybe you can play kicker. And turns out that he can't kick the ball either. So in the very last game of that movie, they need to recover an onside kick. So they just put Brucey out there to kick because he's so bad and he knows the ball won't go very far. So my position for Trump, I think he would just be specifically the onside kicker.
I feel that.
That's it. So those are the unathletic guy that shoots corner threes and the onside kicker are my two positions.
Respectable.
Honestly, I was kind of going to say the same thing as Max for basketball. But for football, I'm going to go ahead and say I'm going to go ahead and put him at long snapper.
Oh. Y'all are disrespecting my president.
It's not disrespect. It's the most prestigious position on the football field.
It's a very important position, if we're being honest.
Yeah, I mean, people say...
It's one of those positions where it's like safety. They don't care about it until you mess up.
You know, like, how in high school...
That's
like a lot
the lineman. NFL, that's the lineman.
A lot of the NFL players, they'd be playing everything when they're in high school. I think Trump could do that in the NFL.
Wow. I mean, it's possible. Does anyone have anything? We spent a lot of time on that ridiculous question. Does anyone have anything else to add to that?
I would say something, but I might really make some people mad.
That's what we're here for, Jay.
You got to say it now. You can't be that
No,
good.
I'm not going to say it.
Okay,
well. I'm just going to point out that I had a witty line to say. I'm just not going to say it. I'll say it when we're off camera. Recording. Now I feel stupid. All right.
So that was our actually first and only voicemail question. The rest of the questions that we have were mailbag questions. So question two came from @SkullRain. He wanted to know what our top three most overrated fast food restaurants are. Ben, go ahead and start us off.
All right. Start us off. People may say In-N-Out. That's the common one I've heard if you've been to California. In-N-Out is not overrated. It is so cheap. It is so good. It can't be compared to restaurants like Shake Shack, because Shake Shack is like $8 burger. It's so cheap, so reliable. I'm sorry, but if you're hating on In-N-Out, I can't respect it. But number three, this is probably the most controversial, because everyone seems to like this place, but Chipotle, just not as good as Qdoba. That's what I'm gonna say.
You're speaking facts.
You're already
Chipotle. I'm gonna say it's overrated because it is just clearly like objectively worse than Qdoba.
No, it's not.
I'd say it's a tiny bit overrated, but it's still a very good restaurant.
Yeah, I cannot eat there.
This is not a bad restaurant.
I'm saying Chipotle's trash.
Okay, I'm not saying it's trash, but I'm saying it, in terms of overrated, Chipotle is one of the highest rated, and it just does not deliver.
I guess I can respect that.
Okay. Right, fair enough. Number two, we got. I just get sick whenever I eat here, so that's pretty much it. And Taco Bell, number two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like everyone can somewhat agree to that one. And number one, Subway. I'm sorry.
Oh my god.
Okay, you make your own fucking food.
You made the sandwich, fam.
I did not.
That's on you.
Okay. I'm going to tell you right now, my high school allows us to like go out for lunch, and I used to go there like every day because I knew the lady and she gave me like a discount, right? And oh my God, if you eat that thing more than 2 days in a row, it's like I can get a different sandwich. Everything tastes the same. The bread is trash. The meat is trash. Oh, the cheese is fucking awful. The lettuce is straight from goddamn Antarctica in not a good way. I don't know what I'm saying, but yeah, Subway is just not a good restaurant. Sorry for rambling.
All right, so mine looks a little bit like Ben's, so except for my number three is a little bit different. My number three is KFC. A lot of people love it.
Yeah.
A lot of people love it. I'm not a huge fan, and they've had some of the worst ideas in fast food history in the like the last 5 years. Like,
they had
did you ever try that
Keto burger or
the donut
the
sandwich?
Chicken sandwich?
The
donut
or
whatever, chicken sandwich.
Someone posted that on Twitter, and it looked disgusting. I'm just gonna go ahead and tell you right now. I don't know what was on that sandwich, but it was not what it was advertised to be.
Yeah.
So,
had it before. I'm just gonna sorry for interrupting, but I don't know how you make a donut and fried chicken taste bad, but they did it.
Somehow. So last year I tried one of those donut chicken sandwiches and I immediately went into cardiac arrest. So
yeah,
throw that out there.
I don't know who's doing their ideas, but like they gotta get fired. Like it's out of the box. Yes, I'll give you that. But this stuff is so bad for you, and it's just not even up to par. My second one is Taco Bell. Not that I don't like it. It's just that it's a lot of hype, and I'm at the point where, like, my brother loves Taco Bell, but we used to get it all the time, so it's gotten to the point where it's kind of, like, overstayed its welcome in terms of me liking it. So it's getting to the point where it's overrated to me. And my number one is also Subway for me. It's just, like, discount Jimmy John's. That's
facts,
all
bro. Jimmy John's is so good. All right,
Jimmy John's belongs on this list, if we're being honest.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think Jimmy John's is very elite. All
right, so here's my three. Nobody has said any of these three yet. So number three on my list is I have Wendy's on that list, and the reason I have Wendy's on the list is because number one, everybody always talks about how it's like so good, the highest quality. Okay, so like number one, I don't eat red meat, so there's that whole thing. I know it's random. I don't eat red meat, so everyone always talks about how good the Wendy's burgers are. To be honest with you, I have no fucking clue if they're good. But everything else on that menu is trash. Their fries are terrible now. They used to have good fries way back in the day. Anyways, Wendy's just overrated.
Just ignoring the Frosties, huh?
Wendy's
got a pretty good burger, so.
It's
a little unfair.
It's a burger place. You can't hit a place where you've never tried the main item.
Yeah.
So number two on my list is
main thing is burgers and chili cheese fries. You can't have either.
Yeah. So their number two, maybe for similar reasons, is Burger King. But I have multiple reasons for this.
Okay.
I work right down the street from a Burger King, and it smells so bad all the time. Like, when I pass it, it's just, like, the smell of Burger King just – it, like, makes me throw up in my mouth. And I got food poisoning from Burger King when I was really little, and it just always turned me away from – or, like, off from it. So, I – no. Burger King's trash. And then number one, I had to put a pizza place on there, even though it's not really fast food. I had to go down the pizza alley. So, I put Jet's Pizza on – my number
that's
one
the
overrated
worst one.
And here's why. I always see people talking about Jet's Pizza on Twitter. And I've had Jet's Pizza two or three times in my life. And there's only one good thing that they have there. Their ranch dressing is really good. That's... but their pizza is so bad. Any deep dish is bad for that matter. But yeah, so Jet's Pizza would be my number one most overrated and in quotations fast food place.
All right, my third one, I'm going to probably go with In-N-Out.
Oh, my God.
I love In-N-Out. Their burgers are great, but the fries aren't.
Bro, are
trash.
I was going to tell you right now.
I like In-N-Out. It's just not I prefer other places because, you know, burgers and fries are a dynamic duo.
When you're balling on a budget, you got to go to In-N-Out.
The burgers there are amazing. It's just the fries for me to want from that. So next, I would say KFC. I'm just not a big fried chicken fan. It's just, I mean, I like fried chicken's okay. It's just, I'm not gonna go into a KFC and get a bucket of chicken very often. And number one is Taco Bell. Taco Bell, like, they have the weirdest menu ever. It's supposed to be, you know, it's tacos. It's supposed to be Mexican food, I believe, except there's no Mexican food. It was everything is Mountain Dew flavored.
That's bad.
Or Dorito flavored. I'm like,
Dorito.
Like they literally had Dorito tacos. I'm like, what? Like, I remember having those, and I was just like, this is so weird. It's so, just.
Yeah, everyone, I think, did. I almost had Taco Bell on my list. Taco Bell was probably number four. But the Baja Blast is so good that alone kept it off.
That's not
my
even
list.
Taco Bell. That's fucking Mountain Dew.
I said this was my unpopular opinion last time. Pop is garbage. So
okay, but what about like the frozen Baja Blast?
I don't like that
either, because that's still gonna have okay. Fizz. That's the reason why.
Wait, what?
Yeah, have you ever like Slurpees? Those have Fizz, like from 7-Eleven.
Slurpees are disgusting. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's your high. That might be your unpopular opinion. I don't know. I don't like them, but a lot of people probably do.
No, I got a better.
I almost actually put McDonald's. Like, I know that's going to make a lot of people mad.
But it's not really highly rated, so it's tough to. That's why.
That's why I overrated, just because everyone hates it.
It's the most popular. But
yeah, but that's because of price.
Fast food place ever.
But that's not because of taste. That's mostly because of price, in my eyes.
True.
But a lot of people still love McDonald's. I mean,
talk about this for a while.
All right.
Yeah, we could, but that's my list. That's my list. In-N-Out, KFC, Taco Bell.
All right, Skull Rain, we gave you a detailed answer there, so I hope you're happy with that. Next question comes from @CurtisM5. He said, which three current Michigan athletes would you want to survive a zombie apocalypse with? And I'll start us off on this one. I thought really long and hard about this, so here we go. Number one, Hunter Dickinson. The reason for that would be, number one, he's big as hell. Zombies ain't going to be coming and messing with – they're going to see Hunter Dickinson and go try to eat some other human. They're not fucking with us. So that's – and plus, he'd be cool to chill with. We've had him on the podcast before. We've talked to Hunter before. He's awesome. So, yeah, he's number one. Number two, Isaiah Livers. What do we need to kill zombies? We need to shoot people – or we need to shoot them. Who's the best shooter at Michigan? Isaiah Livers. He's a sharpshooter. So that's why he's number two on my list. Number three, I have another basketball player here. I didn't throw any football players in here. Franz Wagner. The reason for that is, number one, we have Hunter Dickinson. We have him for the size and the strength. Number two, we have Isaiah Livers, sharpshooter. I need some brains, all right? I'm not the smartest person in the world, so I need Franz Wagner by my side to help me get through a zombie apocalypse. He got a 4.0 in his first year. As a freshman at the University of Michigan, pretty impressive. Plus, he'd also be chilled to hang out with and stuff. So those are my three.
All right. Well, I'll start off with a football player. I'm going to take Dax Hill. That man has speed. So like, he can outrun any mob. I mean, doesn't he run like a 4.3, 4.4?
Yes.
He is fast. He's one of the fastest people in college football altogether. My next one would also include Isaiah Livers for basketball, because, I mean, he's the best shooter. You need hand-eye coordination.
True.
And you were also mentioning, like, hand and eye coordination is also big in baseball. So I was trying to access my memory of the College World Series run. And you also mentioned brains with Franz Wagner. I'm going to go with actually Jordan Wogu. He's a member of the baseball team. He was the designated hitter. He can hit. Like, he can – I remember him. He was going all over the place with hits. I mean, saved their season in the Big Ten tournament. And with the brains parts, he's on Michigan at an academic scholarship. Like,
true.
His parents are, like, professors, I'm pretty sure. So
– I can't relate to that.
He's a smart dude. So that's my three.
Yeah, so all of my three have actually been said. But first, mine is Isaiah Livers. For the sole reason that he has such good hand-eye coordination, I think that he would just be a must-have, because then, I mean, if we need to, he can obviously, like, shoot. He's a sharpshooter. My second one is, again, Max said this one too, Franz Wagner. He's 4.0 at Michigan his freshman year, and he's, like, like one of the smartest people in the Big Ten, if not the smartest. So I think that that is going to be a great addition. And last is one that Jacob said is Dax Hill. He can outrun basically anyone. I mean, there are a few football players that might be able to outrun him, but he can outrun most of them. And if we ever need help, you know, he can run faster than almost anyone, so he'll be able to get help quicker.
All right. I was going to put Dax Hill on my list. I literally just changed it. But if a zombie is chasing me, he's going to outrun me for sure. So I don't know if I can put him on the list simply because I'm probably going to get eaten first, which is not ideal. But if I'm going to have three, firstly, I got to put Mike Smith on my list. Just a legend, Columbia grad. I mean, my God, what can I say? Big fan of that guy, by the way. Nico Collins on the list. Just an absolute unit. Got the speed, got the size. And number three, this might be a little surprise, but I'm definitely not giving him a gun. But I had no Joe Eastern on the list. I mean, I don't want his shooting, but goddamn, that man's locking up. No one's getting inside.
I love how you don't want him shooting. So we sent if there's any Michigan fans that are listening to this that haven't seen like Nojel Eastern shoot the ball yet, just YouTube search Nojel Eastern at the free throw line, and his shooting stroke is I it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my entire life.
I'm not wasting any ammo on that man.
Anyone have anything else to add to that?
Nope.
We're all good.
I think mine's the best. So
you know what?
I got a baseball guy, so.
We'll see. True.
Mine's the best.
This is our last question from @FantasyMessiah. This was a weird question, and the only reason I put it in here was because we've never talked about Denard Robinson before, and I don't know. I like Denard, so that's really the only reason why it's in here. He asked, would Shoelace have won a natty in the past 3 years with this team? I'm actually going to change that question a little bit. We'll just say, like, in the Harbaugh era, we're not going to limit it to 3 years. So would Shoelace have won a natty on any of these Harbaugh teams?
That changes up my answer a little bit.
Oh, but, all right. Hey, all right.
Firstly, I was going to say no to the 3 years because, like, I mean, I don't know. We got Tua, we got Trevor, and we got Joe Burrow. I mean, I don't think we're beating them. But the Harbaugh era, that is tough. I'm gonna say yes.
So you're gonna leave that 2016 squad with Denard?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm gonna say yes.
I'm also gonna say yes. I think that 2016 team is talent-wise one of the best teams we've had in a long time. Like, if you imagine Denard on a team with Amara Darbo, Davion Smith, J.U. Chesson, Jake Butt in offense, I'm pretty sure that's unstoppable. Like, those are like Darbo is one of our best receivers in the last 10 years. Along with like Jeremy Gallen, and Davion Smith is one of our most consistent running backs, and Jake Butt's probably the best tight end in the last 10 years. I just don't see a way that anyone's stopping that offense plus Denard, who can both throw and run as well as he can. And that defense is just talent-wise probably the best defense we've had this decade. I don't see a way that another team is going to stop it, even though it might be close.
Yeah, no. Like, they're not winning the whole thing. Like, they're going to make the playoffs 2016, 2018, especially, I'd say. But they're not winning. They're not going to beat Bama. They're not going to beat Clemson. Like, no, just they'd be a great team, certainly. I'm not shorting that. It's just they're not going to win the national title with that. I mean, you have to think about, would the offense be actually completely compatible? Could we go from Wilton Spate, who isn't exactly a mobile quarterback, to a guy who's completely mobile? He can run whenever he wants. It's just like, it's the offensive compatibility that's a problem, because like we've always complained about our wide receivers not being used enough under Patterson. Like, now we have this guy who runs all the time and doesn't use the receivers that much. So it's just, you know, I don't think so. I mean, they'll be a playoff team. They'll maybe make the title game. I don't see them beating Nick Saban or Dabo Sweeney, though.
Yeah, so I will say in 2016 with Denard at quarterback, they beat Ohio State that year. They probably go to the playoff, but I'm with Jacob. I'm going to say no. And the only reason I'm going to say no is mostly because I don't have the confidence that Denard would have been properly utilized in those Harbaugh offenses, especially with Pep Hamilton. I don't know. I don't have a lot of confidence that he would have been the playmaker that he was back in, you know, 2010, 2011 back then. So I will also say no. Moving away from mailbag questions, we're going to move into this week's top three, which is top three Marvel movies. I'm going to sit this one out because it's not my style. I don't like Marvel movies. I have probably seen no more than two of them. God. So I'm going to sit this
Please
one out.
Please don't leave the video. Oh, my
so, God. So, Ben, go ahead. Start us off.
All right. I'm a very big Marvel fan myself, so this was a very hard list to make. Before we get into my top three, my honorable mention – kills me to not put him on the list, but I'm going to put Avengers Endgame. Endgame, you hear what I said? Yeah. Endgame. Yeah. I think it's the best in-theater experience I've ever had. I went on, like, opening night, like, when I came out, and it was really – just the theater was going crazy. But if you watch it again, there's so many flaws in that movie. As just a film, if you look at it without, like, the fanboy thing – I think it doesn't hold up against these other three. Number three, my favorite actor in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Tom Holland, Spider-Man Homecoming. That's number three for me. Big Spider-Man guy myself. Number two, Guardians of the Galaxy. I think it's a classic. I think it's underrated in terms of just ranking Marvel films. It's just funny, great, good action, all that. And number one, Captain America, the Winter Soldier. I think I'll stand by this till the day I die. That's the best Marvel movie that has came out to this day.
All right. Well, for me, I guess like more or less, I have a different one than yours. So for number three, I actually like Black Panther a lot. It might not necessarily. I'm not a huge Marvel fan. I mean, I've watched most of the movies, but I just really liked Black Panther for some reason. It was just something about that whole concept about this an entire country being like secretly this super developed thing was like so interesting to me. Number two, I guess I'll go with Guardians of the Galaxy too. That one was really interesting to me. That one it was entertaining. It was funny because you know it's Chris Pratt. That's gonna have a It's going to be a lot of, you know, what do you call it? It was like a comedic release or something. I don't remember. But number one, I mean, I just Endgame. It's the end. You know, it's Endgame. So, I mean, that was the most fun I've ever had watching a movie in a theater. Everyone's going crazy. So, you know, that's just my top three.
I don't even know what Endgame is.
All right.
Well, that's why you don't have a list, don't you?
It actually felt like a sporting event when I was, like, the crowd, like, there was, like, a crowd in the movie theater, I swear. People were just, like there was always sound going on. It was crazy. That was, like, the weirdest.
People are crying next to me.
For my top three, mine looks quite similar to a few of these, except for my third one is actually Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. That's one of the most likable characters, in my opinion, of all the Marvel movies. And I just love their usage of the soundtrack. To me, it was just one of my favorite. It was just one of my favorite ones to watch just because I liked it. Endgame is my number two, much for the same reasons as Jacob, just because it's like Endgame and like the whole I don't really know how to say it, the whole culture or – it's not culture. I don't know what word to use, but just around that movie, there was just so much hype around it. And I went in and I was not disappointed with it. And my first one is Guardians of the Galaxy. I love how it's just so retro. I love like the whole idea of the movie, Chris Pratt, love him as an actor. He's so funny in that movie and it's got Bradley Cooper as Rocket. Bradley Cooper to me is also one of my favorite actors. And I just don't really see how there's a different answer for me. It's just I love both the actors and it's just the whole retro style and the soundtrack just all adds to like this like really funny atmosphere. And the fact that they all don't get along, that just makes it better.
I'm just gonna say one thing. I heard Spider-Man to the Spider-Verse. That would have probably made my list, but I don't think it's like part of like the MCU, which is like the universe. So that's why like Spider-Man, like the original Tobey ones, didn't make my list. Oh, and that one. But if we are counting that one definitely would have made my list for sure.
This isn't MCU, it's Marvel movies, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but it matters how you interpret the question, I'd say.
Wait, so what's the difference between Marvel and MCU?
Like, the MCU is all connected. Like, they're all intertwined. Like, Avengers is, like the characters they can use in the Avengers are, like, the ones in the MCU.
But, like, Into the Spider-Verse is, like, the one... Is there, like, other movies kind of like Into the Spider-Verse where it's, like, kind of separate?
Yeah, like Venom.
Oh, yeah, Venom.
I mean, like, the original Spider-Mans. Yeah, movies like
Marvel,
that. Like,
Marvel's the company owned by Disney, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and then
Disney owns everything. That's a fair assumption.
I'm so confused. On that note, we're gonna move on. If you're listening to this, we're gonna put up a poll tomorrow, asking you to vote who had the best list. It'll be between Ryan, Jacob, Ben, and Chris. We'll have Chris's list on there as well, so you guys can decide who had the best list of top three Marvel movies. Moving on to the last segment of this podcast, we're going to do unpopular opinions again like we usually do. Ryan, what do you got for us?
My unpopular opinion is more about professional sports this time. And mine is that the Detroit Pistons will be good in 4 years, like playoff good. I see a good young core, but if you look around the NBA, they just don't match up to the other teams.
Wait, what would...
Haven't we been saying the Pistons are going to be good for like literally the last decade?
Yeah, but
like they've just haven't.
This
they
is
just
the first time in a long time that they've actually like seen that they need a rebuild.
Ryan,
and you saw this with shipping off Andre. You saw this with just all the different stuff they've been getting picks. They got a pick for John Lewis last year. All I'm seeing, and they picked, and if they were going to say win now this year, they wouldn't have picked Sekou Doumbouya. That's just in my opinion.
Yeah.
But for me, I think that they will not be good for like another 4 years.
Yeah. Would you say like you said playoff team, but obviously like in the NBA, there's a lot of
teams.
I think
they'll be a playoff caliber team in 4 years as soon as like,
but, I mean,
once they've been rebuilding and collecting picks.
You're not saying like 8 seed though, right?
Yeah, like that's what I was thinking.
No, I'm saying
like they can win a playoff series.
Like top four seeds, you're saying? Okay.
Ryan, I actually agree with what you're saying, and I just think I'm not a big NBA fan, admittedly. So I do follow it a little bit. I think it's a shame that the Pistons have refused to do a total teardown for so long now, and it's just made them kind of stuck in this. You know, not great, not bad, middle ground. And I think they need to finally just say, you know what, we're going to stink for 2 years and we're going to start our rebuild. And I hope that they finally do that, because I would be a Pistons fan if they were any good whatsoever.
Whoa, wait.
I mean, this process might be sped up, like depending on how the draft lottery might go. It might get slowed down by the draft lottery. What if they win the first pick?
Yeah,
like J. Anthony Edwards, that speeds the whole thing up, because now you have this truly elite prospect. Yeah. So a lot of it revolves around how ping pong balls bounce, which is kind of odd, but it's interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's my turn now. So I've tweeted this multiple times before. Penn State's uniforms are not good. I will always, like, people love Penn State's uniforms, but there's nothing...
They're gonna come after you, Jake.
I'm fine with that. They've already come after me several times.
They're gonna drag you.
I don't care. It's Penn State. They have nothing. It's Happy Valley. You live in a place called Happy Valley. You can't be that happy. I mean, there's nothing like great about Penn State's uniforms. They go crazy over like their helmet. It's just a white helmet with the blue stripe over it. There's nothing special about it.
I agree.
Like the wing. Helmets like actually something. Like, you don't have many teams doing that. So like, they just have, it's so simple. I just get bored looking at it. Like, it's just like Michigan's colors. Not many teams have a shade of yellow and blue.
Yeah.
Blue and white is so common. Like,
It's just facts right here.
All right,
it's not unique. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, right, guys. Chest. So I want you guys to all buckle in for mine. I'm gonna get dragged for this one, but that's okay. It is called Unpopular Opinions for a reason. So I'm not gonna sit here and I'm not gonna make like a top 10 quarterback list or anything like that. I don't have the time to do that, and I don't care enough to do that. All I'm gonna say is my unpopular opinion is Baker Mayfield and Jameis Winston are both better than Matthew Stafford. That's my.
You're done. Okay. Goodbye.
Dude, okay.
Are you serious?
That is my unpopular opinion.
Stafford was on pace for 5,000 yards before he got hurt.
I understand.
Baker has as many interceptions as he has touchdowns.
Here's what I'm saying. If I'm building a team next year, I'm taking both of those quarterbacks over Matthew Stafford.
Winston threw 30 interceptions.
Hold on. Jameis Winston just had LASIK though, so he's good now. He's good.
I'm a big Jameis fan. I'm gonna be real.
He's so long to get the surgery. That's not gonna magically make him a better quarterback.
Because supposedly it's unhealthy to have LASIK surgery before you're like 26 years old. So you're supposed to wait till like you're 25 or 26 to have LASIK. So he's not gonna be so squinty anymore. I have a feeling that so he threw like 30 picks last year. I have this conspiracy theory that he just flat out couldn't see who he was throwing to. And arm talent wise, there might be two people in the NFL currently that have more arm talent than Jameis Winston. And I'd maybe put Mahomes and maybe Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz?
Arm talent wise. I'm not talking about
What?
Have you underrated watched? Arm in the league. Like
Wait,
that's
so
like
watched a game.
That's his whole thing. He has a great arm.
Yeah, who has a great arm?
Matthew Stafford.
He's known as a gunslinger. That's
Stafford stinks. We're gonna move on from Stafford here. All I'm saying is that
tell me how.
Arm talent. Well, I mean, listen, you can throw for a lot of yards in your life when you're just playing in garbage time, just throwing the ball, chucking it downfield your whole career. So
close to the Browns.
When you're losing a lot and he's the king of the stat padding. Is Matthew Stafford. So, plus, who knows about his health? So, going forward, he's getting into the upper ages. He's coming off of a season-ending injury. I would take Baker and Winston over Stafford to start a team next year, for sure. 100%.
If you're starting a new franchise, you have to take Baker because he's like 10 years younger than Stafford. Yeah. Like the only reason why is because he's younger.
I'm talking about eight. If I'm trying to build a championship team next year, and I have those three quarterbacks, Stafford would be picked last.
This is the worst unpopular opinion I've heard yet.
I think you mean the best.
No.
Max, can you tweet that out?
Well, it's certainly the most unpopular, which for it that's a reason why.
But you know what's crazy? I don't even think Baker Mayfield or Jameis Winston would agree with that.
I think Jameis Winston would absolutely agree with that.
Baker Mayfield probably thinks he's the best quarterback in the league. What are you talking about?
He probably is. Look, Baker Mayfield had a little bit of a sophomore slump. So what? It happens.
And he didn't have a good freshman slump either.
Baker had a good first year.
Winning four games in Cleveland is above average.
Since he entered the league, let's be honest.
We can't spend all day on this.
And Jameis Winston is going to be the best quarterback in the league now that he had LASIK. So we're going to move on from that.
Sure.
The man threw 21 interceptions to 22 touchdowns last year.
Who are we talking about? Baker?
He had one more touchdown than he had interceptions.
Yeah, he was a sophomore slump. We already went over this. He'll be out of that next year.
You're a number one overall draft pick.
That's going to happen. His sophomore slump.
Great 6-10 record.
He had an incompetent football coach last year. Absolutely incompetent football coach.
Cleveland always has an incompetent coach.
Hey, not this year.
Under Hugh Jackson.
We got a good football coach this year, and the Browns are going to win the Super Bowl this year.
You probably thought Freddie Kitchen was going to be a good coach.
Kids, this is why you do not do drugs.
Who's doing drugs?
You.
I just heard your unpopular opinion, so.
So Jameis, if he can stay out of trouble and stop stealing crab legs, he will be known as the best quarterback in the league again.
Again.
When he was going into the league, he had that potential. He had the potential
to be better. Who said he could be better than Tom Brady? Who said that?
Bro. Tom Brady. All right. Going into next season is all I'm worried about here. Okay. And next season, I'm telling you what, the Bucs made a big mistake by getting Tom Brady.
That might be the weirdest phrase ever.
Yeah.
That would be like, you know what? No, we're done. I'm not even going to get into this.
You never bet against Tom Brady.
How many times do you have to watch the movie
before you know the ending?
Max, we're going to move on, but can you agree to tweet that out sometime after this episode comes out?
I don't know, because my mentions are going to go berserk.
If it is your take,
I'll do it for you.
I have a lot of takes that I keep to myself because I don't want to just my phone to be blowing up with just like toxic tweets all night.
If it's really what you believe,
look at this fucking Wolverine corner. What a fucking dumbass. Like, this is what I'm already seeing, like, in my mentions. I guarantee
if it's really your opinion, bro, you gotta stand by it.
I do stand by it. I'm putting it on record on our podcast right now. I do stand by
it. Okay,
we get it now. All right,
we're gonna move on.
You don't have the worst one. We'll know that. Yeah.
I thought mine was gonna be pretty controversial, but this has been a very unpopular opinion section. I think Deshaun Watson is already and will have a better career than Lamar Jackson.
God damn. Lamar's better.
Go ahead. Just to begin, let's be honest. Lamar has not won a playoff game.
In 2 years.
He's been in the league like 2 years.
I mean, Watson hasn't been in the league that long. He's won a playoff game. I think Watson has an objectively way worse team than Baltimore. I think Baltimore skill position players are like boosted a lot because of the team that they have. And I honestly believe. I think if they switch teams, I don't think Baltimore would have made the playoffs. I think Baltimore would have made the playoffs with Deshaun and went to the Super Bowl. And I don't think the Texans would have even won 8 games.
But
Lamar led the league in touchdown passes.
So I think what you're saying there is you're more not confident in your head coach and building a good system around Lamar Jackson than you are. Because I feel Lamar Jackson is – he's a special talent. Like, no one's saying I understand you're saying like you think Deshaun's gonna be better. Like, I get that, but I think everybody on here can agree that in the right system, Lamar can be great. So saying that they wouldn't win 8 games with him, I don't know about that.
Harbaugh's
in the right system.
Ron Harbaugh designed the system for Lamar so he could run around and be Lamar.
But at the same time, if you look, the number one ranked offensive line from last year is Baltimore. Guess who got the most sacks last year and the year before? Mr. Deshaun Watson.
Ugh. Bill O'Brien, so I'm not surprised.
Yeah, but
Bill O'Brien, trade
DeAndre Hopkins for
Johnson. I'm not saying that he will win more championships. I'm just saying that as a player, Deshaun Watson is superior, and I don't even think it's that close, if we're being honest.
No, I'm not convinced. So, I mean, I can see a reasoning.
That. I agree with that, but there have to be a little bit of constraints. I think that if you put Lamar Jackson in any other system but the Ravens, he is just average. He's got the leg strength. He's got the legs to be able to be in slightly above quarterback anywhere. Like, just that puts him over the top. But he showed that he had good arm. I just don't think it's great. I don't think it's really – I don't think that he's going to be able to beat out the top 10 quarterbacks, quarterbacks in the NFL.
But
that's
just
my opinion.
It's a weird comparison because, I mean, it's a weird hypothetical.
They don't play
because,
similarly.
Yeah, because yeah, you're do. Saying – No, I'm going back to what – I'm going back to what Ryan just said about, like, if you put Lamar in any other system. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and what you're saying is probably right, but – Lamar would never play in another system. If he ever went to another team, they would build a system around him. So I think it's kind of unfair to say, if you put Lamar in any other system, he wouldn't be that good. Well, Probably not, because the coach would make sure that he uses Lamar's strengths and builds a system around him. So I think it's a kind of a goofy hypothetical, but
That's the thing, is that if you have Lamar, you kind of have to build your system around him, because you know that he's an average other way.
I'm just gonna say, if the year that they drafted Lamar, they drafted pretty much any other quarterback in that draft, they would be very successful.
Yeah.
And when you have the number one O-line in the league, I mean, think about it this way. The 49ers, I mean, they make Jimmy G look good.
Yeah. Fucking,
the Colts made
Brissett.
Yeah, Jacoby Brissett. They made him look like – O-line does so much, and when Deshaun can do all the things, all like if he can beat a Buffalo Bills team in the playoffs with the O-line and talent he has around him, it's really impressive, and I could not imagine Lamar doing that.
Lamar Jackson led the league in touchdown passes last year. I mean, he went 13-2 as a starter. He's 19-3 over his whole career so far. I mean, the dude can win football games.
Yes, but proven.
That's but the same that time, the overall goal.
Flacco like, could also when he was.
He's the first quarterback ever to throw for 3,000 yards and rush for 1,000 ever. Michael Vick never did that, so. Like, he might be better than – he might be an upgraded Michael Vick, which is kind of crazy to think.
Oh, my God. No,
hey, is that terribly wrong?
Vick did his time.
Look at his stats. Look at his stats.
Bro, my dog's favorite player is Vick, but that's besides the point.
Hey, Vick did his time, all right? Relax.
But like, I'm just going to say, I think
his Lamar – completion percentage is 66% for a running back. That I'd say that's pretty good. That's a podcast.
I love the – like, I love
Ravens fans mad.
I'm being sarcastic. He's not a running back.
Except
he gets more yards than most running backs.
All right, this comes back to my take that every quarterback is a system quarterback. So I truly believe that. I feel like there are not very many take a quarterback out and plug him into another system. So
they're the center of the offense.
Lamar gets so much crap because his offense looks different when it's just. Every coach should be playing to their quarterback strengths.
Every coach should, but have you heard
Patricia
of
Patricia isn't?
Have I heard of what?
Screen
Bill
passes.
O'Brien, Matt Patricia. I mean, like Listen, a lot of coaches can't.
Those are the bad coaches, though.
Belichick,
like Brady gets crap for being system. Like,
oh my God,
like,
that's
what I say is that Brady is the system. He's the only constant for 20 years, and they keep winning. So.
Yeah. Like, every quarterback is
Brady,
a
but that system doesn't become a thing without Brady. Like,
I agree.
The Ravens, if you throw any quarterback in there, it's not going to work. It's designed so
if you throw Lamar Deshaun in around. There, I mean, I'm sorry, bro.
No.
Yeah, but if Deshaun
You're missing
comes
my
in,
point.
The offense would still look different.
It would look different.
If you put Deshaun Watson in a system designed for Lamar Jackson, it's not going to be as good.
Just like if you put Patrick Mahomes in a system designed for fucking any Deshaun Watson, it doesn't work. Like it's you build your system around your quarterback. I don't care how similar a quarterback's strengths or weaknesses are. I'm with you, Jacob. I like how you said that the quarterback is the system. I think that's kind of a good point. I think that's very true.
All right, that was a long segment.
Yeah. This podcast went way longer than anticipated. We're gonna be well over an hour. So it is what it is. But we're gonna wrap it up. Does anyone have anything else to add? Ryan, you good? Everyone good?
We're good.
Shout out Chris for the best artist I know.
All right, so, with those unpopular opinions, episode 6 of Maze and Blue Corner does come to a close. I wanted to run through a few shout-outs real quick. Shout-out to our editor, Quentin Cole. We couldn't do the podcast without you, so keep doing what you're doing. Quentin also has a YouTube channel that he does Michigan basketball, football, and recruiting videos. So just search Quentin Cole on YouTube. Cole is spelled K-O-L-E, and you will find his channel. Make sure to watch his videos and subscribe. Also shout out to Michael, my man Mikey P, for doing all of our edits and graphics for us. We appreciate you. You can follow him on Twitter at @go_blue_13. And one last shout out to Chris for doing the interview today. And our final shout out to Lil Dicky for trying to save the environment. Hope everyone has a good day and a good weekend. Thanks so much for listening. Go Blue.